wake up with an attitude of gratitude. Lama's Oprah Jay says, you just think, oh, I didn't die last night. Sounds kind of wild, but it's true. I didn't die. So now what am I going to do with this day that I have? Because if we're keeping death as a kind of a Jiminy Cricket here on the shoulder, then we're going to look at our day and see what's going to be the most worthwhile. What can I do in this day? And how can I live this day? So today, you've made a determination to spend some time really thinking about meditation and working on your mind. So I don't want to spend a lot of time talking. I would like to practice. And I also don't want to I want to help you create a space for yourself in your mind and in your life that will help you create a practice that is sustainable, that you can do, that you look forward to. It's like if you don't brush your teeth every morning, is something missing? Like that. Because you can find when you have a practice. For me, it's morning. I don't know. Is there anybody else that is there anybody here that sits at night that prefers nighttime?
I do both morning and night.
Okay.
Mornings are too rushed. Small children get to school. It's too much.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, good. For me, if it doesn't happen in the morning, probably doesn't happen. I mean, it won't happen in any kind of deep way. There's always a practice that I do before I go to bed at night, but it's a more of a quick practice. It's not a sit for a couple of hours kind of practice. So finding your niche, different people have different rhythms and different lives, how they have to do that. But getting a habit of the time, making it this time is when I sit. So that your inner clock does that. It takes you to your cushion because it's something that you've developed a habit to do at a certain time every day. And even if it's small, and I say this again and again, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes, that is to do every single day, you're creating this habitual river of meditation, that every day, at least for a short period of time, you're bringing your mind to a state of virtue. You're bringing your mind to a state of peace, and you're cultivating virtuous thoughts. So before we get into what could be a daily morning practice, I'd just like to go through some exercises in developing this inner landscape, this inner an ability to be present and peaceful in your meditation. And it's something that we have to cultivate. Right? We have to cultivate it. Probably it doesn't just show up. We have to think about it. And it's not counterproductive to do imagery and trying to bring yourself to a state of calm, relaxation, to bring yourself to a state of peaceful ease, a delight, playful sort of attitude, a state of warmth and tenderness. It's not counterproductive to do that. It's not wasting your time to get on to the real business at hand. I've got to get these prayers done. But I think for Tibetans, particularly who have been raised in monks and nuns who have been raised in monasteries and nunneries and their practice, their whole life has been raised around the idea of having a lama, having guru devotion, and paying attention, knowing the Buddha's around you, you have faith that this practice is going to work, and that you have that they have a different sense, I believe, about their practice. And so the idea of taking refuge in the Buddha, for them, is very natural. It's very natural. And very natural to think of their teacher as the Buddha. And so when you take refuge in the Buddha, for them, it's very natural to feel this loving kindness and warmth coming. And for someone who's done it for many years and you practice, then it does come. The more, the deeper your understanding, the deeper your realizations, then the greater your affinity for your teacher, because you just think, wow, you know, what they gave me was so amazing. And you just have greater and greater and greater love. So it's easier to sit down on your cushion and think about your lama as the Buddha and have your heart open. Like right now, your heart opens and you think, I want to give you everything in the universe. So when you're offering, there's a sense of joy that comes automatically. But that doesn't automatically come for Westerners who haven't developed. And I think we have to make that warmth and joy come from our own experience. And then we can go on. And eventually we will, through the power of doing these practices, we will eventually come to this place of, wow, you know, I enjoy being here and just being a sentient being. How wonderful. And it's not a slog. It's tappable all the time. See, this is the most beautiful thing, is that when you uncover the true nature of your mind, it's available in every moment. As soon as you feel a tightness, because you have practiced, you can let it go. Sounds, they don't bother you. Irritating people aren't so irritating. You can always let go of that. You can always transform your mind. Through practice, that's all. You know, it's just through practice. It's not magic. So, it's brilliant. It's really brilliant. Because it's true, that's the thing. You know, because it's true, then how do you get there? How do we do this? So in the very beginning, and I think if you've sat with me before, we always go through a relaxation meditation. So let's just do that part. So we can imagine that we've taken ourselves to our cushion. Waking up with gratitude that we have this opportunity. And assuming a meditation posture where your back is straight. In the beginning it might be difficult, but eventually the muscles in the back will become stronger and will help to keep you straight. I have heard that relaxing is difficult when your back is straight, but I'm going to have to counter that because I think you can. I think we need to cultivate this posture in order to have the energy flow in the body properly. So, sitting. And then just taking two or three deep breaths with an attitude of letting go on the out-breath. I invite you to bring your awareness to the crown. and slowly and gently float down. And as you float, imagine releasing and relaxing all the muscles. As you sink down, succumbing to gravity. Check your eyes, your jaw, back of your neck, lift your shoulders to your ears and then drop them. And let them completely relax as you float down your arms. To the tips of your fingers. Go down your back. Feel your shoulder blades. The smaller your back, to your sit bones. To the tips of your toes. In your body. A sense of groundedness. And know that you are safe. Imagine that you could look up and the thoughts and turbulent waves of emotions, feelings, images. They're just like waves. You're below them. They don't disturb you. Perhaps conjure an image of delight. Something from your childhood. Something that brings you a smile. Maybe a puppy. Children laughing. inner delight. An inner smile. And you can let go of the image and just hold the feeling. And then to cultivate an attitude of appreciation or gratitude. You might think of a person in your life who has been exceptionally kind. Notice what happens in your body when you have this sense of gratitude, appreciation. And just holding that experience of gratitude, the feeling. And a sense of wonder. Can we have a sense of wonder for the body's breath? As we turn to the breath, as we watch how the body breathes, sometimes short, sometimes long, and we need to do nothing. Just be attentive to the sensation as the body breathes. In a tender-hearted, kind way. purposefully from time to time, take a deep breath and notice how the sensation changes. It's all right if thoughts intrude. It's their job. But what we're attending to is a sense of ease, of peace, of delight, wonder. Let the thoughts and feelings and emotions and the conjurings of this and that come and go. It's okay. As sounds arise, let them come to you as a receptor, as opposed to going out to them. See if you can notice a difference as you relax deeper and deeper. Just being. Try conjoining words to your breath. For instance, breathing in joy and breathing out peace. And follow your out-breath all the way to the end. where the body will naturally breathe in on its own. What happens when you breathe in peace and you breathe out love? Does it change? Still attending to the sensation of the breath. As soon as you find yourself thinking, following a thought, chasing after a feeling, you catch yourself and gently, kindly, sweetly, come back. With a sense of gratitude for noticing. With an understanding of the benefits of developing a tranquil mind. We come back again. Each time you come back and notice the sensation of the temperature at the aperture of the nostrils, you can join it with that gratitude. Okay, yes, I'm back. And that sensation, that pleasant sensation of, yes, good. So within a state of peace, we think about the purpose of our life. And how fortunate we are to have an interest in a path that promises freedom from suffering. That's completely amazing. We think about those people in our life who are close to us and how we long to be able to help them. But with a scattered mind, blown by the winds of our karma and our deluded states, we act in ways that are unhelpful. Imagine how wonderful it would be to abide in a state of peace, tranquility, wisdom and compassion, and in every moment be able to skillfully attend to the needs of others. Wow. This is the promise of our practice. So it gives us courage to come back again. To grow this warm heart. To rejoice in our efforts. We cultivate a sense of I can. Of course I can. And again. The sensation of the breath. If we lose our gratitude, our sense of joy, conjure it again. Remember a child's smile. where does it manifest most distinctly for you? As you follow the breath all the way to the end of the exhale, is there a pause before the body breathes in? On the next inhale, try bringing your awareness to the third eye, the place between the two eyes, right at the brow. Still aware of the body breathing. There's a saying that goes, blessed are those who can laugh at themselves, for they shall never cease to be amused. So whenever you find yourself out there, come back with a smile, an amusement. And don't think you're alone. Just come back. And let go again into a state of peaceful ease. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
I always talk. I'm trying not to.
Oh, don't try not to. You can talk. What did you find? What aspects were helpful or not helpful?
Receiving them instead of going to them. That was the first time I actually felt that, because I'm always like going to them and it's really distracting, and this time I actually felt something different.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's a different orientation. You know, we use this mind, this sharp mind, this mindful mind, and we train it. So in order to train it, if we're just saying prayers, we say the refuge prayer. What it means to say the refuge prayer is that we are actually acknowledging our profound potential. Take refuge in this, because I can make a difference in my life. And to be able to cultivate a sense of stability in your practice before you get started. Now, for instance, I don't know, did you come to a state of peace at all throughout this meditation?
Thank you.
if you've come to a state of peace, and within that state of peace, then you turn your mind to your Lama as the Buddha. The Buddha has appeared before you. And then you, yes?
Some, for me it works the other way.
Which way?
I fill my heart with gratitude and devotion.
Yes.
Then I reach the peace.
Yes. Yes, it does come that way.
Yeah, it's just easier for me that way. But then again, it goes back to the lama and blessings and gratitude and all. So it is like up
exactly.
And down.
Like, what is it that brings gratitude? You see, the reason you have gratitude to your lama.
Isn't that the wisdom?
Yes, it is wisdom.
Yeah.
It is. You gain wisdom through the power of doing these practices. And then you have more gratitude. It's kind of a circular sort of thing.
Then the quality of peace that you reach after that sweet experience of strong gratitude and is much deeper
That's peace, right.
That is reached by focusing on breath or something inert.
That's right. But the, I should say, for someone who doesn't have a connection.
Yeah.
To a teacher or have some experience of gratitude in that way for something more spiritual. Having gratitude, being able to conjure, what is the sensation of gratitude? Trying to find that sensation of gratitude. My grandmother lived with us when I was a teenager, and she always would say to me, no matter what I looked like, you know, I would get ready, you know, when I'd have on the short skirt and lots of makeup, and she would say, you always look so nice. Sometimes I think back on that. But she always said that, you know, you always look so nice. So when I think of gratitude, I think about, it's easy for me to have a kind of gratitude for a person in my life who unconditionally thought I was fabulous. And it wasn't like she was making it up. I mean, she really, that came from her. Oh, you look so nice. Of course, I thought I looked nice. I wouldn't have gone out looking like that if I didn't think so. But I think, you know, for my grandmother to say that at that time. Yeah. So, things in our life, if we spend a little bit of time, and of course we spent a long time doing this practice. If you were going to do that every morning before you did any prayers or any other mind training, you might not have time to do anything else, right? So you can fast forward from time to time when you have like a day of sitting. You can spend some time really kind of trying to tap into that. Did you notice a difference when you brought your awareness, when you were breathing, when you brought your awareness to your third eye? Did you see any difference in the way you're, in your mind? Did you see anything different happening? You mentioned something different with the sound, being able to have a difference there. No?
I always feel like it goes from thoughts to present moment. That's how it always feels like to me.
When does it do that?
When you go to third eye. Or behind my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's in the present moment?
The present moment is usually more simple. Not agitated.
Mm-hmm.
Not like neither fighting your thoughts or removing your thoughts, but just removing yourself from them and letting them just be over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
I find a different quality there. I'm trying to think back to other times because during this meditation I was just really dull, so I was like fighting that, and I wasn't as present. present there as I would be other times, maybe. But there, yeah, there is a different quality, but I don't think I can really put it into words.
When I first brought my attention there, it was amazing. The physical sensation was like a huge headache appeared right in that spot. And I thought, maybe it's because my third eye is clogged. And so I did more deep breaths and thought about clearing and bringing energy and being present with it. And then I could feel the opening.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
And all of the pain just...
So what to do when the mind is dull? What do you do when you're sleeping? You're feeling dull.
Like a million different antidotes I try to apply. But the one that's the most severe is I'll open my eyes and I'll look up. And then I have to look at like different levels. And there'll be a level where I'll find some brightness. If it's not that serious, just focusing on the inhale more. Or I never seem to go to the thinking of the Lama as one. I believe that's one of the antidotes. That one doesn't seem to come naturally, but that's what I do. And sit up taller too.
Mm-hmm. Usually an in breath and then the straightening up. Do you get enough sleep?
Last night, not so much, but in general, I do. It's just my tendency, I've noticed over the years, but yeah.
Yeah, important to get enough sleep. Otherwise, we go into a state of subtle dullness and just cozy out there. And that's not the place we want to be. What we want is this total, relaxed, but bright mind. A mind that is fully present. It's like I think wonder is a very good analogy, because when you have a state of wonderment, it's like amazement. That's a quality that is a brighter mind. It's a mind that is really wondering what's next. It's not actually grasping after the next moment, but it's just wondering. This, the kind of mind that sees a full moon rising. You're driving down the highway and all of a sudden the full moon is in rising and it's huge. And there's just this sense of amazement, wonder. Whatever it is that you can conjure to have that sort of attitude. So these images that we come to create a state of mind. Now for me, over years of practice, as Jay said, I can just turn my mind to my mom, and my mind is happy and grateful and amazed at my good fortune. And having that as an attitude, then it makes the rest of it go more easily. But it takes years, I think, to come to a place where you can quickly have that. I like to look at my mind, what's going on in my mind when I'm having a sense of peace and happiness, and if I'm doing a practice and I have a sensation, a very pleasant sensation in my body, what happened just before that? What arose in my mind just before that? And often it's compassion, it's love, it's gratitude to my Lama. just having that sense of heart opening, that sense of a pleasant, being pleasantly in the body. And we can look at, it's useful to look at what states of mind are happening in the moment, and then to glue them together. Even in your daily life, because you can do that. When you have an experience in your meditation, you can do that out in the world as well, right? So we have some time. I thought, I wanted to go through that meditation and see what happened for you. To come to a state of peace in your own mind. And this is a, I've passed this out before. You've had this, and you probably have some in your closet. But this is just a daily morning practice that one can do. And we'll just do it together. It's simple. We like it better when we have it on the screen and you don't have to look at a piece of paper, but that's all right. You can take this one? Yes, you can have it. So maybe we all need to stand up or stretch a little bit before we do this to get ourselves energy. Straighten the knees out. When you're doing a longer day of meditation, it is good to stand up or stretch in between and not just get to a place where your body says, I don't want to do this anymore. And interspersing with walking meditation, which we'll do this afternoon, we'll do a sit-walk-sit. So that we aren't sleeping through the whole afternoon. And we'll decide what our quitting time is. So you settle your body, speech, and mind in their natural state. Sort of leaning back into the practice, yet focused and alert. And thinking, just as I long for happiness, gratitude does every other living being. How wonderful it would be if I might reach a state of perfect enlightenment, to be able to lead all beings there. And we let that be our pole star for our day, for this practice. And for a little while, we attend to the breath, settling the mind. It is often useful to count a cycle of breathing out and breathing in as one. To count to 10. Now imagine, if you will, in front of you is an image of the Buddha, golden, radiant light. Gazing at you with loving eyes, like a parent for their only child. And then imagine sitting on your left is your mother. On your right is your father. And behind you, your friends and family. Picture them. Your grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, children and grandchildren. Your friends. front of you the troublemakers in your life, those who give you a headache. And spreading out beyond these are all sentient beings. We imagine all of them in human form, but they have their own particular kinds of suffering. We imagine the hell beings with their angry minds, the hungry ghosts with their poverty mentality, the animals filled with fear and stupidity, all those human beings we have yet to meet, the strangers in our life. Human realm is filled with grasping desire. The demigods, full of jealousy. And the gods, completely self-absorbed. Imagine that they're all here and that you're leading them. And you imagine that you lead them in this prayer of refuge in bodhicitta. And you think, by taking refuge, we're recognizing our profound potential, that the very nature of our mind is wisdom, love, compassion. So we take outer refuge in the Buddha appearing before us. And we take refuge in the enlightened mind. And we take refuge in our own potential. So we'll chant it once in Tibetan, twice in English. Sangye chodam sakhi chodnam la jam shibayu dagni kyamsim chi dagi chin so gi pe sonam ki drolam penchi sangye dupashu. I go for refuge until enlightenment to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, by my virtuous actions of giving and so on, may I become a Buddha to benefit all beings. I go for refuge until enlightenment to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, by my virtuous actions of giving and so on, may I become a Buddha to benefit all beings. And then we make this prayer. We recite the seven limb prayer. We'll recite it in English, chant it in English. I prostrate with body, speech, and mind. I make each and every I confess my mistaken karma and rejoice in every virtuous deed. Please, Buddha, stay until samsara ends. pleased with our activity, with our prayer. And we imagine them smiling and then dissolving into a sphere of light and getting smaller until it becomes the size of a robin's egg and floats over to the crown of our head. And then it slowly descends down through the center of our body, coming to rest at our heart center and merging inseparably with our own body, speech, and mind. And we imagine this is our Lama, this is the Buddha, and this is my own mind, and its nature is love, compassion, and wisdom. We imagine this sphere of light, placing your mind right in it, at the center of your heart. You imagine that sphere of light growing and filling your body with a sense of deep peace. And the wisdom realizing how reality actually exists, having absolutely not one atom of true existence. And you are amazed as this light dissolves everything as it grows, passing out through all of your pores, dissolving your ordinary sense of self, it goes out and actually fills this room. Dissolving everything into bliss and emptiness. It's uncontainable. And it goes in all 10 directions. Until it fills the infinitude of space. Having dissolved everything, it begins to contract back. Until once again it's the size of a robin's egg. Watch it as it too dissolves toward the center, smaller, smaller, becoming imperceivable. And you awaken into the mind of clear light, resting back, in clear and present awareness. Moment by moment. you might imagine that you are studying the entire sphere of the sky. To realize there is no center and there is no periphery. Just as nothing can rest on any fraction of the sky, nothing can rest upon your clear light mind. Thoughts come and go. Like waves upon the shore. And you are attending to the clear light mind, that mirror which reflects those thoughts. Time to time, notice your body be relaxed. If you're furrowing your brow, and attend to awareness of each present moment. if you are captured, send your awareness out and out and out, let go. And then bring it right back in and let it rest in its natural place. With a sense of wonder. Relaxing again into this present moment.
just leave it alone in its natural state. Don't make it stay or go. Be like a mountain. Clouds pass by. It rains. The sun shines. And you sit.
gaze once again into our bodhisattva body and dedicate, not to lose this good energy, dedicate to enlightenment.
Trusting as space is really a good ending.
I don't know if it's just my mind, probably not, but or if I'm used to like the visualizations, because that's mostly what I do every day, and then I'll do shamatha at the end. But this one compared to the first was like night and day. The first one was super dullness coming up a lot. And then this one, like way more bright. Not completely, but comparatively to the one that had happened like just before. So I don't know if I've just trained my mind a certain way and it does that now, or...
Could very well be. Yeah, excellent. You see, it's important to understand what triggers our mind? What takes our mind to the place we need to stay? What is it that inspires us to be present? And usually we have, those of us who've been studying Tibetan Buddhism for a long time, we go through this prescription. We take refuge and generate bodhicitta, and we make prayers, and perhaps doing other visualization practices. So the important thing about that is to be able to come to a place where you can stay. To train your mind to be able to stay. Because doing visualizations and moving through is perfect. And you have to be able to stay with that. See, just saying refuge, just reciting bodhicitta prayers, doing visualization practice where you're seeing the light coming from the Buddha. There are many different practices. Doing a sadhana you might do. But within those practices, they're designed to generate certain states of mind. And if we're just saying the words, we don't generate those states of mind. So we recognize when those states of mind are being generated. when we see, I really am taking refuge. You know, I really do turn my mind to this in a state of gratitude for having met this path. And I do have gratitude to my Lama. You know, so we recognize what our state of mind is. And know what that is. Know what takes us to that place where we can be present and we can inquire into the nature of our mind. So, it's good. Anybody else?
Well, sometimes when you reach that kind of stable state, the bodhicitta mind comes as a competition.
As a competition saying, I'm in this stable, peaceful place, and then bodhicitta mind says, you must be working for sentient beings. What are you doing hanging out here?
No. May everybody have this. So that becomes as a thought.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, I don't know what is fabulous, what is not. So there is a competition.
Well, what's competing?
What's it
competing with?
The thought, the feeling coming as a thought.
So you're thinking you're supposed to be
coming
like
as a thought. I see. Oh,
the verbal,
I see.
Verbalizes.
I see. So the thought comes. Oh, yeah, this is fantastic. May everybody have this. No, that's not a competition.
Okay.
That's
a good competition.
Good. That's a good competition. And then to let go of that thought, you can send it. May they have it, and I'm sending it to them all.
Yeah.
You know, then you send it out once again and rest that. And what a beautiful, open-hearted feeling that is, right? To touch, you know, like Tinkerbell with the fairy dust. It's really a great practice too, especially if you're feeling lethargic or you're feeling you need to do something because your mind is too busy. You need to do something, so you can send out that joy, that peace, that love, and by doing that, seeing all beings receive that. And then once again, through the power of receiving your bodhicitta, then they dissolve.
Mm-hmm. So,
and once again, you dissolve. So it's creative ways of letting go, but using these positive states of mind. It's fabulous, really. Fantastic. Yeah, you can use them. Use them. And recognize that you have them and rejoice that they come. Because oftentimes it's not that. It's I don't want to be doing this. I'm so bored. And when that comes, you know, that's not useful because that doesn't keep you here. It's not in the green pasture. So you have to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what training our mind is. It's changing what's arising in our mind to be in a state of peace. Right? How do we do that? And over time, we get more and more and more tools, more and more techniques to be able to use them effectively. When you memorize things, like the three principal aspects of the path, when your mind has gotten to a place where it's just not willing to stay put, then if you go through, maybe you just recite down to renunciation, and you go, yeah, you know, it brings you to that place because you have, it's a state of mind you've conjured. So having, the more you practice, the more tools you have to be able to use to bring you to a state of peace. And then resting there is really important to bring yourself to a state of tranquility. Be able to stay there and go beyond your comfort zone. Bring yourself back. They say three times. You know, if you're so out there that you can't, you're too agitated, they say bring yourself back three times and then take a break.
Mm.
go throw some cold water on your face and have a little meditation on death and impermanence and the fact that you might not ever have this opportunity again. Then with this strong determination, you come back. You have to be your own cheerleader, because nobody's going to do it for you. So what is it? You know, we're lazy. I mean, let's face it, we're just lazy. And what we want is for it to all come to us and for us to just sit down and have it all happen. But it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. We have to do the work. We do have to do the work. So. But in time, the work gets more and more pleasant. As we conjure up these pleasant states of mind, you know, it really is nice to cultivate love. And then when you cultivate it on your cushion, you remember it when you're out in the world and that person has irritated you. You think, oh yes, but I'm cultivating, I want that person to be happy. What can I do to bring that about? So, more and more, your world becomes a support to your practice. So, we can go have lunch. Yeah. And, yeah, we'll do that. And we'll decide then when we come back what our quitting time will be. I think the flyer says 4, but maybe that's too late. Is that too late? Anyway, you think about it. We'll take a vote. We're a democracy, right?
What time will we start again?
See how long it takes us. Are we all going to go to have lunch, or are you going to go somewhere else? Let's plan on starting at 1:30.
Okay.
So if we go to